Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Kishore Kishore Jaya Kishore Kishore, Kishore Kishore Jaya Kishore Kishore. Jaya Jagannatha, Jaya Jagannatha, Baladeva Jaya Subhadra. Jaya Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai, Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada.
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतश्री श्रीमदिष डिवाइन ग्रेस श्री भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। नित्य लीला प्रविष्ट ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतश्री श्रीमदिष डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की जय। श्री वृंदावन मथुरा धाम की जय। श्री मायापुर नवद्वीप धाम की जय। पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय। इस्कॉन शिकागो न्यू सेवा कुंज धाम की जय। देयर मोस्ट मर्सीफुल लॉर्डशिप श्री श्री किशोर किशोरी की जय। श्री श्री जगन्नाथ बलदेव सुभद्रा महारानी की जय। श्री श्री गौर निताय की जय। गंगा माए यमुना माए की जय। भक्ति देवी तुलसी महारानी की जय। श्री हरिनाम संकीर्तन यज्ञ की जय। हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र की जय। श्री नरसिंह चतुर्दशी महामहोत्सव की जय। श्री लक्ष्मी नरसिंह देव भगवान की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरांग।
From him ecstatic. जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वाला गिरिवार धारी जय गोपी जन वाला गिरिवार धारी यशोद नंदन ब्रज चंद रंजन यशोद नंदन ब्रज चंद रंजन यमुना तीरा वन चारी यमुना तीरा वन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वाला गिरिवार धारी जय गोपी जन वाला गिरिवार धारी यशोद नंदन ब्रज चंद रंजन यशोद नंदन ब्रज चंद रंजन यमुना तीरा वन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा हरे Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Thank you. कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे Jaya Kishore Kishore Jaya Kishore Kishore Jaya Kishore Kishore Jaya Kishore Kishore Jaya Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada
Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivajakacharya Ashtotarashata Shri Srimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivajakacharya Ashtotarashata Shri Srimad His Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada Ki Jai Nam Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Holy Appearance Day of Sri Nrisimhadev Bhagavan Ki Jai, Prahlad Maharaj Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhaktivrinda Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 28, entitled Paranjana Becomes a Woman in the Next Life. And today's text is number 3. Please repeat. Kalakanya pibu be bubu jay. Kalakanya pibu bu jay. Puranjana Purambalat Puranjana Purambalat Yaya Bibhuta Purusha Yaya Bibhuta Purusha Sadyo Nisharatam Iyat Sadyo nisaratam iyat Kalakanya pibu buje Puranjara purambalat Yaya bibhuta purusha Sadyo nisaratam iyat Vaishnavis. We'll start this. Go ahead. Kama kanya pribu bhuje. Puranjara puram palat. Yaya pibhuta purusha. Sadhyoni saratamiya. Kalakanya pibubuche Puranjara purambalat Yaya pibuta purusha Sadhyone sadhatamiyat. Word for word synonyms, please repeat. Kalakanya, the daughter of Kala. Api, also, Bhubhuje took possession of Puranjana Puram, the city of Puranjana. Balat, by force. Yaya, by whom. Abhibhutaha, being overwhelmed. Purushaha, a person. Sadhyaha, immediately. Nisadatam, uselessness. Iyat, gets. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Gradually, Kala Kanya, with the help of dangerous soldiers, attacked all the inhabitants of Puranjana's city and thus rendered them useless for all purposes. Please repeat. Gradually, Kala Kanya, with the help of dangerous soldiers, attacked all the inhabitants of Puranjana's city and thus rendered them useless for all purposes. Purport. At the fag end of life, when the invalidity of old age attacks a man, his body becomes useless for all purposes. Therefore, Vedic training dictates that when a man is in his boyhood, he should be trained in the process of brahmacharya. That is, he should be completely engaged in the service of the Lord and should not in any way associate with women. When the boy becomes a young man, he marries between the ages of 20 and 25. When he is married at the right age, he can immediately beget strong, healthy sons. Now female descendants are increasing because young men are very weak sexually. A male child will be born if the husband is sexually stronger than the wife. But if the female is stronger, a female child will be born. Thus it is essential to practice the system of brahmacharya if one wishes to beget a male child when one is married. When one reaches the age of 50, he should give up family life. At that time, one's child should be grown up so that the father can leave the family responsibilities to him. The husband and wife may then go abroad to live a retired life and travel to different places of pilgrimage. When both the husband and wife lose their attachment for family and home, the wife returns home to live under the care of her grown-up children and to remain aloof from family affairs. The husband then takes sannyas to render some service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the perfect system of civilization. The human form of life is especially meant for God realization. If one is unable to take to the process of Krishna consciousness from the very beginning of life, he must be trained to accept these principles at the fag end of life. Unfortunately, there is no training, even in childhood, nor can one give up his family life, even at the end. This is the situation with the city of Paranjana, figuratively described in these verses. Translation again. Gradually, Kalakanya, with the help of dangerous soldiers, attacked all the inhabitants of Paranjana's city and thus rendered them useless for all purposes. So here we're hearing about the personality of Kalakanya. She is the daughter of time, and her other name is Jara, or old age. So this Kalakanya is attacking the city or the body of Paranjana with many dangerous soldiers she's accompanied by. So who are the soldiers that accompany Kalakanya or old age? Dr. Richard. No, actually the days and nights are the soldiers of Kala, time. Who are the soldiers of Kalakanya, old age, the daughter of time? Diseases, different types of diseases and hardships that attack the body in old age. So in this description, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada begins speaking about the invalidity of old age. For those who don't die young, this will be experienced. And he begins by saying that one experiences lots of disease and invalidity in old age in proportion to how much sense gratification they engaged in their more youthful years. So a person is not meant to be suffering for so many, many decades at the end of life. But due to unrestricted sense gratification, primarily sex indulgence, then dementia, invalidity, so many physical problems will attack the body. So here in the purport, Prabhupada then gave some detail about how children are conceived, how one gets their bodies. And he suggested, or he explained in the purport, that due to the strength of the man and woman at the time of conception, such strength will predict what kind of body the child will get. So we shouldn't get too wrapped up in this. Unfortunately, I've heard and met different devotees who have gotten a little hung up on this point, that, oh, man and woman come together and they produce a child, and, oh, look, they had a son. Oh, very good. That's proof that the man was more sexually powerful. But, oh, look, they had a daughter. Oh, I guess that means that the man was sexually weak and the woman was lusty. And this is not the purport of this of Prabhupada's words. What Prabhupada is explaining here is that conception of a child is very, very, very scientific, and that Vedic culture, Vedic knowledge is so advanced that just see how thousands and thousands of years ago the Vedic writers could explain right down to the nitty-gritty details of how it is that a soul acquires their material body and under what conditions of combination of man and woman do certain bodies get produced and certain souls get invited into the womb of that woman. This is not a criticism of male or female. It is a science. And it's all material. It is a completely material science. So in one sense, we don't really care about it because it's material. But the beauty is that we should understand how even on the material platform, the Vedic knowledge is so intricate and it's actually very advanced. Go find one modern scientist. That's the challenge. Find one modern scientist on planet Earth that can give a scientific explanation as to why this baby is born with a male body and this baby is born with a female body. Oh, they'll say the X chromosomes and the Y chromosomes and all that. Okay, fine. But why this body got X chromosomes and this body got Y chromosomes? Oh, well, because the way that... Okay, but go back ad infinitum. Please explain the answer to the question, why? You might be able to give explanations as to how. Cause and effect. But go back to the original question of why. So only the Vedic literature can not only give the mechanisms of how, but can answer the question why. So when the Srimad Bhagavatam and Srila Prabhupada's purports seem to go off on a tangent and describe a lot of materially scientific details, the reason is to give us faith in the Vedic literature. The Vedic literature is not written by just some speculative sages who smoked opium and sat in the forest and composed literature. The Vedic literature is not the mental concoction of conditioned souls. The Vedic literature is absolute knowledge. It's scientific knowledge. It's authoritative knowledge. And it is flawless knowledge, free from the defects of illusion, faulty senses, making mistakes, and cheating. So we'll see throughout the Bhagavatam, for example, in the third canto, very detailed description of life of the embryo in the womb. Most people would say, what? Life of the embryo in the womb? That's a contradiction of terms. There's no life in the womb. It's just a piece of tissue. Life starts when the baby falls out of the womb. But the third canto has a very wonderful description about life of the child in the womb. And it's so amazing. From the time of conception to the formation of the body in the size of a pea, and then after so many days and so many weeks, how different organs start to appear and start to form, and how after certain months you can see the spine, how at the seventh month, in the seventh month, full consciousness is manifested, the sense of hearing is manifested. And this was thousands and thousands of years before sonograms and x-rays, etc., as we know it today. There's also in the fifth canto, wonderful description of the structure of the universe, of cosmology, way before modern man had their big, big telescopes and their space shuttles and whatever it is that they have. So the knowledge found in the Vedic literature is both material and spiritual. The material knowledge is given there for two reasons. A, we need a user's manual while we're here in the world dealing with material energy. We need material knowledge to live in this world properly, not to break the laws of God. Religion means to follow the laws of God, just like being a citizen means to follow the laws of the state. And if you don't follow the laws of the state, then your right as a citizen is ripped away from you. You no longer can vote. You can no longer, you know, hold bank accounts, you know, all so many things, and you're thrown into the prison house. And for all practical purposes, you're not a citizen. So similarly, religion means to follow the laws of God. But if we don't understand the user's manual, God gives us a user's manual at the time of creation. And if we don't understand it, how are we going to follow the laws of God? So the Srimad Bhagavatam and Vedic literatures give wonderful description both materially and spiritually. But the topmost knowledge, of course, is the spiritual knowledge. Spiritual knowledge begins with, oh, there's a difference between matter and spirit. How about that? There's two independently existing energies. One's called matter, one's called spirit. And I'm not a product of matter, even though in the schools they teach me that I am. They teach me that life evolved from chemicals, that the Darwin theory of evolution can perfectly explain how human species came to exist on this planet. So they've been telling me that I'm a bag of chemicals. But the scripture is telling me, no, that's not true. You are not a product of matter. You are a spirit soul. So to get that realization that I am not this body is a high thing. It starts with book knowledge, that I'm not this, at least theoretical knowledge, that I am not this body. So one theme that is constantly being discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam is that the difficulty with the material world is that we become attached to our body and everything related to the body in the form of spouse, children, family, our house, our possessions, our country, our, you know, all the different designations that we have on ourselves. So the process of spiritual life is a process for extricating the self from this false identification. Easier said than done. And there's a twofold tactic for extricating the self from this false identification. One side is the negative. The negative means to keep pounding it into the head about the dangers of material life, how matter is temporary, it's not conscious, it's obviously not blissful. There's so many problems with material life, one can't actually enjoy, it's all suffering, everything is temporary. And then the other side is the positive side. Here's the spiritual world, here's Radha and Krishna, here's Satchit Ananda, Vigraha, here's our activities in the spiritual world. So here in this section, we're hearing a little bit from the negative approach. That, okay, you think your body is so wonderful. You have a wonderful, beautiful, intelligent body. Well, guess what? Tide and time wait for no man. Doesn't matter how beautiful or intelligent or wealthy you are. Old age, Kala Kanya, is coming to meet us. And she brings with her a whole plethora of diseases. So, Maya, the illusory energy, engages many people in this world in the service of trying to cover up the fact that we're all going to experience old age, disease, and death. And the demons are on Maya's side. It is their mission, actually, to make the conditioned souls not even think about, to completely be oblivious to the fact that old age, disease, and death are coming. Why is that? Because if we're always conscious of the fact that old age, disease, and death are just around the corner, if not already upon us, then it might make us start thinking, well, golly, isn't there something more than this? Isn't there something beyond this? Am I really just a bag of chemicals? Whereas the demonic mentality is to keep the citizens dumbed down. Keep the citizens dumbed down. Let them really believe that they can defy old age and disease. They can even defy death. Then we can sell them lots and lots of products of sense gratification. We can engage them in activities of improving the world for the future because they will actually believe that they will live forever. So we notice when we travel to the universities that this is very nicely being done. The university campuses have tens of thousands of youthful bodies walking around. And when you're on the campus, it's so obvious that many of these people believe that the whole world is young, beautiful, intelligent, wealthy, opulent, carefree. And occasionally you see an older person go through the campus. It's like, oh, they stick out like a sore thumb, you know. So they try to create this whole atmosphere that there's no old age. There's nobody even practically over 30, you know. There's no old age. There's no disease. And it's just all kept far, far away into some in some corner somewhere where you don't have to pay attention. And even one's own parents or grandparents become elderly. Oh, well, they're kept in some nice little nursing home way over there in the corner, and I don't have to pay attention. But Vedic culture means that revealing the truth to everyone, not keeping people in ignorance. So from a very, very young age, children were taught that janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi, dukkha, dosha, anudarshanam. They were taught how to perceive, how to acknowledge, how to admit the difficulties, the dangers, and the evils of birth, death, old age, and disease. Because Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, this is a symptom of knowledge. This is a symptom of knowledge. Where will you find knowledge? Go to that person who displays the symptoms of knowledge. If someone displays the symptoms of knowledge, then you're going to find knowledge there. So one of the most important symptoms of knowledge is this, janma mrityu jara vyadi dukkha dosha anudarshanam, having the vision to see, to comprehend, and understand the difficulties and the evils of birth, death, old age, and disease. And unless one is trained from a very young age to have that kind of vision and that kind of knowledge, then what happens? Just like Paranjana, they'll enter the latter years and decades of their life totally in ignorance, totally believing that I can just go on with wild sense gratification, and perhaps death won't even come. Or if death comes, hey, well, at least let me die happy. Let me enjoy to the last minute. So this was the mood of Dhritarashtra. He was enjoying the kingdom in his very old age, and Vidura had to come to him and plead with him. Dhritarashtra, please, come on. Wake up, look in the mirror. Slap yourself in the face, look in the mirror. Can't you see what's happening? Oh, I forgot, that's right, you're blind. You've been blind from birth, so perhaps you can't see by looking in the mirror. But can't you at least open your spiritual eyes and see? Open, you know, jnana chakshush, open your eyes of knowledge. Can't you see? Your teeth are falling out. Your hearing has become diminished. Your appetite is such that you can hardly eat. You know, what part of this picture? What can't you not see? Please, wake up. Death is approaching any minute. This is the beauty of old age. People don't like old age. But there's actually a beauty in old age. What is that beauty? Just like when you're driving down the street and the traffic light is green. And then the yellow color comes, the amber light comes. That is actually a very, very nice light to see. Why is that a nice light to see? Because it's indicating that within 2 seconds, the red light is going to appear. So it tells you, slow down, be prepared to come to a full stop. Imagine if the traffic light only was green and red and there was no amber light. You'd be cruising along 45 miles an hour or whatever, and then all of a sudden, boom, the light turns red, and you're caught in the intersection. We would never be able to stop properly, and we would only get smashed from the side and horrible accident. So the yellow light is our friend because it warns us, it prepares us to come to a full stop. Similarly, old age is our friend because it's telling us, okay, you've been all enjoying and being all intoxicated for so many decades, now get real. The red light is going to come in about 2-3 seconds. Put the brakes on, slow down, sober up, get ready for the final exam. So this is the purpose of old age. Kalakanya is actually our friend, not our enemy. And this is the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement, to educate people that the final exam is just around the corner, and we need to pass that final exam with an A+ in order to not take birth again in this material world. And this is what sannyas means. Sannyas means when one is fully convinced that I have nothing left to do in this world. I have no activity, no responsibility, no mission left in this world. All I have left now is take the final exam. So one takes sannyas and completely prepares for that final exam. So Prabhupada was so enthusiastic. He gave sannyas to his 30-year-old disciples. And one time one man challenged Prabhupada, why are you giving sannyas to 30-year-old men? I know about Vedic culture. Sannyas is meant for old men. In old age, men take sannyas and perfect their life to, you know, in preparation of death. But you're giving sannyas to young men? I don't understand. And then Prabhupada said to the man, what does it mean to be old? And the man was taken aback and he couldn't answer. And Prabhupada said, old means just on the verge of death. Can any of us here say that we're not on the verge of death? Raise your hand if you can confidently say, I'm not on the verge of death. Death is not around the corner. So Prabhupada said, therefore I give sannyas to my 30-year-old disciples. Because this is real knowledge, to understand that even I might be, you know, 20 years old and healthy and wealthy, doesn't matter, death can come at any moment. So King Paranjana is getting a wake-up call. Kalakanya, with her soldiers of disease, have entered into the city of Paranjana and plundered all of the inhabitants. And who are those inhabitants? The abilities to enjoy the senses. So Kalakanya and her soldiers came in and attacked all the inhabitants of Paranjana's city and rendered them useless for all purposes. One says, oh, I'm going to work really hard for 30 years, save up my money, and in old age I will retire and I will enjoy. I will travel the world, I will go to all those places that I always wanted to see and go to all those restaurants that I wanted to eat and go to all those amusement parks, and I will enjoy in the last years of my life because I won't be working. But, sorry, in the last years of life, all the inhabitants of our body, namely the senses, will have been attacked and rendered practically useless. And like Dhritarashtra, we won't be able to digest those foods that we want to eat. We won't be able to hear that music that we want to hear. We won't be able to dance with the arthritic knees and what have you. So real knowledge means to acknowledge these things. Prabhupada explained, intelligent person learns by hearing. He hears something, completely comprehends it, and realizes it. A less intelligent person, they do hear, but they don't quite get it. Maybe theoretically they get it, but they don't realize it. So therefore, they have to go through the school of hard knocks to really learn the lesson. meaning they have to live out all the steps. And a rascal is one who he hears and he experiences and still he doesn't learn. So today is Lord Nrsimhadev's appearance day. He came to kill the demon Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu was just like modern man. Hiranyakashipu tried everything he could to become immortal. He wanted to defy old age and disease. In fact, if you become immortal, you necessarily not only are deathless, but you're also old ageless. So Hiranyakashipu's mission was to kill Vishnu and put himself on the throne. I'm God. And in order to do so, he wanted to become immortal. And he tried everything within his power and within all others' powers to become immortal. So modern man is doing the same thing. Everyone is trying to become immortal, even though they might not say they are. They really are. All these scientific researches and developments and advancements in bioengineering and this, that, and the other thing. It's all about how to overcome. You know, they're trying to solve different diseases. They're trying to solve the different problems of old age. And it's all meant to build up to the point, well, golly, if we cure all the diseases and we stop all the symptoms of old age, doesn't it just necessarily follow that we will have also conquered death? Because disease and old age precede death. So if we can get rid of them, then we must necessarily get rid of death. So just like Hiranyakashipu, man today is trying to become immortal. And Nrsimhadev came to kill that mentality. He came to kill Hiranyakashipu. That you cannot become immortal. You cannot become God. And I will show you. And with one swift ripping apart with his nails, he killed Hiranyakashipu. So on this day, we can actually pray to Lord Nrsimhadev, please have mercy on me and also rip away, kill the doubts that are in my heart, because my heart is also contaminated with the demons of doubts. Doubts about, am I this body or am I spirit soul? Can I enjoy in this world or can't I? Can I be immortal, immortal or can I not? All these doubts are lingering in our hearts. That's why we're not fully surrendered to Krishna. That's why we're not ready to take sannyas, because we still have doubts that we're holding on to. Well, maybe I can enjoy in this world. Maybe I can make material advancement. Maybe I can find some security here. Maybe there is something else besides full-blown surrendered service to Krishna. So we can pray to Lord Nrsimhadev to please rip away these doubts, these demons. Krishna says the doubts are demons. So please kill the demon of doubt in my heart so that I can become a perfectly surrendered soul to Guru and Krishna. So we'll stop there, see if there's any discussion. Himanshu Prabhu. So Himanshu Prabhu, if I understood the question properly, is saying that sometimes when we're chanting, different doubts come into our mind, namely, isn't there something more than this? Like, is really chanting the be-all and end-all? But we hear that chanting is the be-all and end-all. Prabhupada said, from chanting comes more chanting, right? So this is Maya. That while we're chanting, doubts are coming in our mind. We're supposed to be paying attention to the Hare Krishna mantra, but the mind has been sabotaged by Maya. So Maya has entered, and her job is, don't listen to the Hare Krishna mantra. Stop that.
Stop that right now. How dare you listen to the Hare Krishna mantra? And so she puts doubts in our mind. Well, maybe I shouldn't listen to the Hare Krishna mantra. You know, there's probably other things I should be doing or could be doing. And so we're trying to look beyond Krishna, that there's something beyond Krishna. So this is a trick of Maya. Doubts are demons. They're not fighting for us, they're fighting against us. So whenever doubts come, we have to understand, okay, how do you slash the demons of doubts? The demons of doubts. What did Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? He said with the sword of knowledge. Knowledge is also a torchlight. With the sword of transcendental knowledge only can the demons of doubts be destroyed. So that means, okay, hearing and chanting. I have to hear, just as much as I have to chant. I have to study, not just hear like a microphone hears. We have to hear with comprehension, with our heart, and apply, contemplate, how can I apply what I just heard today? Are there no take-home points? Or is it just, oh, we just killed 35 minutes, fantastic. Closer to prasadam time tonight, you know? Countdown. How many half hours are there till dusk? So is that what Bhagavatam class is? Just a countdown to prasadam time? When we hear, we should then contemplate what we heard and try to figure out, how can I apply this to my life? There must be take-home points. And if we don't see take-home points, then we're missing something. So yes, the demons come even while we're chanting Hare Krishna, even while we're dressing the deities. We're right there with Kishore Kishori. Can't get more intimate than that. Can't get any closer than that. To dress Kishore Kishori, you basically have to hug them because you have to put their clothes on. And here they are, and you're going like this, putting their clothes on, tying them. And you can't get any closer. And yet the mind is going, It happens to everybody. So we have to practice slaying the demons of doubts with transcendental knowledge. Back to Luke.
Hare Krishna. This is related to the what you were mentioning about how the goal is to realize we have no business left in this material world. So I was thinking about relationships, particularly with devotees. It's easy for me to understand that my relationships with non-devotees are insubstantial. But with devotees, it's a little bit trickier, and to know how to relate to devotees and what exactly is my relationship with other devotees. And also, I was thinking of what Prabhupada was saying, or one thing Prabhupada said early on in the U.S., when people were saying, oh, don't go to the Bowery, he was saying, well, I'm never alone. I'm never alone. So there's that, but then also when you were saying we don't have any business in this material world, in one sense, it seems like we kind of are alone, like the material world is not, it's like an alien place, so... If you could just share some insight.
We are alone in this material world. It's a very lonely, dark place, and there's only one thing that connects us with others, and that is the super soul. Otherwise, we have nothing in common. So, unless we put Krishna in the center of our relationships, they're useless. So even our quote-unquote devotee relationships, unless Krishna's in the center of that relationship, which means we hear with each other, we chant with each other, we remember with each other, we do service with each other, we serve each other for the purpose of advancing in Krishna consciousness. If we're not doing those things with devotees, we're not associating with devotees. Again, we're practically hugging Kishore Kishori when we're dressing them. Are we actually associating with them? Are we actually rendering any service? No, because the mind is elsewhere. So proximity is not a relationship. Relationship means connection through the supersoul. That's the common thread that unites all of us. We can be united with every single living entity when we're in perfect communion with the Supersoul, coherent communion with the Supersoul. So we're relating with each other now because we're trying to help each other get to that point. We're not at that point. Hey, Prabhu, let's, you know, hear and chant together. Let's do service together. You know, da-da-da-da. And we reveal our minds to each other, etc. Hey, I got these doubts. Oh, let me help you slash those demons of doubts. It's all for the purpose of each of us getting more in communion with the Supersoul. That's real relationship. Otherwise, it's material. So we're actually supposed to end because today is cut up for the feast. We can take one last comment or question here.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Mataji, we were discussing about the old age and disease, and we know, like, as devotees, they also have to become old and go through diseases. And I wanted to know, like, how these diseases, like, affect the mind. And many times, like, no, in diseases, like, no, we have, like, tend to have more faith in doctors, like, you know. And I've seen, like, people going from one doctor to another, and going from one hospital to another hospital, and yet they are, like, no, disappointed about the treatment. And
right, so a devotee puts their faith in Krishna, not in doctors. Not that they don't take care of themselves with doctors, but they get to the point where, okay, the body's meant to die. Don't try to artificially keep it going, spending all one's money, all one's children's inheritance on fixing the body so it can last for 5 more minutes. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said that old age and disease, the problems of old age and disease, those difficulties, the pains, etc., in a devotee's body are not a product of their karma. Oh, Prabhu is so unhealthy, so diseased, suffering so much in old age. I guess he has bad karma. No, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, when the body of a devotee becomes infirmed, diseased, etc., one should not see it as a product of karma. Rather, one should see it as direct doings of Krishna. Why? To bring that devotee to the, you know, to finish their business here. Because we're still attached. Even like you said, we're old and diseased and sick, but we're spending thousands and thousands of dollars to go to the doctors. So Krishna wants to rip away the last residual attachments that his devotee has to their body. So he will give old age and disease as an impetus for them to completely relinquish their attachment to the body. Because if something's really nice, you know, it's so nice in here, it smells good, and it's a good temperature, and everybody's friendly to me, I'm going to stay. But now you're all mean to me, and it smells bad, and it's freezing cold, I'm going to leave. So when the body is still, you know, nice and comfortable, I'll still stay here. But as soon as the body becomes very difficult, I'm out of here. I'll give up my attachment. So we should see disease, old age, etc., in the body of a devotee, not as a product of one's karma, but as the direct, loving reciprocation of Krishna with that devotee to fully extricate him from his material attachments. So that when death comes, no more attachment. Because if there's one tinge of attachment left, one tinge of hope left, then one has to take birth again in the material world. You only pass the exam with a 100% score, not a 98.4. You have to have a 100% score on the final exam. So we have to become really serious and start giving up our attachment now. And forget about all these cosmetics. I gotta, you know, do things to my body, you know, put on the makeup and do my hair and everything so I can deny the fact that I'm getting old, right? Everybody wants to dye their hair to cover up the gray and put, what is it called, Botox or something to get rid of the wrinkles and put the makeup on, and because we want to cheat others, but we're actually end up just cheating ourselves. People put their picture, you know, in the magazine, they write an article, and they have the picture of the author. They don't put the picture of the author as they are today. They put a picture of the author from 20 years ago to make them still look young and because they're embarrassed to put a picture of, you know, gray hair and a tooth missing or something. So we do it to ourselves. We go into the mirror every day and, oh, wait, I got to do this and do that. Okay, now I look okay. Now I can go out in public and nobody will see my wrinkles and my gray hair. You know, we're not honest. We cheat ourselves. We're cheating ourselves out of passing the final exam. It's nobody's fault but our own that we flunked the final exam. And again, flunking means anything less than 100. It's a pretty tough score. So I think we have to end there because we're being requested to go to the basement and help cut vegetables for Lord Nrsimhadev's feast. So I'm sorry if I cut anybody off from questions or comments. Sri Nrsimhadev Bhagavan ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. You're not suffering old age and disease, are you? Uh-huh. You're not suffering old age and disease, are you? Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.